Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL, taking you through a freezing cold Wednesday, beyond freezing, as a matter of fact, no matter what side of town you're on. And we bring in Joel Hammond, not only of the Cleveland Indians, but also, if you've been reading your Friday edition of the Chronicle-Telegram, you've seen a lot of Joel's work in there as well, previewing all of the area high school boys and girls basketball action. Joel, happy holidays, my friend. How are you?
Andy, same to you. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start out with some tribe talk, and then we'll transition to the hardwood here in just a few. But I want to begin with the details on the signing of first baseman Yonder Alonso. I just kind of want to go inside some of the numbers here and talk about how big of a signing this is to replace a guy like Carlos Santana.
Yeah, so Alonso really kind of had a renaissance a year last year. You know, he was part of this. You know, you hear so much now about exit velocity and launch angle. Well, Alonso was really a poster boy for, you know, the uptick in launch angle. So he put an emphasis on, you know, putting the ball in the air. He thought that he was, you know, he looked around in the weight room. He told reporters this after the signing. I look around the weight room and I'm stronger than everybody, but why am I hitting the ball on the ground? I can hit it out of the ballpark. So all of a sudden his fly ball rate spiked and hit 28 homers, 67 runs batted in. He was an all-star last year after a really hot first half. So we're pretty confident that he's going to be able to, you know, if not replace Carlos Santana, replicate a lot of what he does, you know, in the middle of the order and offer some protection for Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Ramirez and the rest of the guys. So we're excited. You know, we put out a couple quotes on our social media accounts from him after he talked with reporters. You know, he's excited about being with the Indians. You know, he was with a couple teams last year who were not successful, and he's looking forward, I think, to being a part of a team that's going to compete for a World Series, and we're looking forward to having him for sure. He will be at Tri-Fest, Andy, on January 20th as well.
Very cool stuff, and I know it's going to be a star-studded cast there at Tribe Fest. You guys are very excited about the new venue, and it should be an absolute blast. I want to stick with Alonso for a second before we transition into the loss of Carlos Santana. You know, in hot pursuit of a guy like Yonder Alonso, just kind of wanted to get an idea as to what the timeline was like. I know that you guys were in talks with Santana, and Santana's camp has come out and said time and time again that they kept the Indians clued into every conversation that they had with an opportunity to try and match any contract put forth by any other team. But how soon did the conversations begin between the Tribe and Yonder Alonso? Was it immediately after Carlos Santana had signed with the Phillies, or is that something where the Indians kind of were in contact with Yonder Alonso as these conversations were also going on with Carlos Santana, knowing that it might be a realistic possibility that he could move on?
Yeah, I think Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff and their crew were sort of preparing both ways. I think they were preparing, you know, okay, if we're able to bring Santana back, if the price is right, then that's great. We'll do that. But, you know, let's plan for the alternate. And if we can't bring him back, if his price gets too high, which it did ultimately, and really I think his price tag really surprised a lot of people in baseball and you know, probably portends pretty well for some of the other free agents. But, you know, okay, so his price tag gets a little too high for us. So let's go to plan B. We've got guys in mind. We've been talking to guys and eyeing guys who we think can replace some of that production. And, you know, once Carlos signed with Philadelphia, I think it was a pretty, again, because we prepared for that possibility, I think it was a pretty quick pivot. Okay, we need to replace this production. Who can do it at a price that, you know, we can afford A and B, you know, we can continue to try to improve elsewhere on the roster. So I think Yonder provided that mixture of really good production at the right price where we can still, you know, go out, you know, and improve other parts of the club. You know, I think Chris said after we signed Yonder, we're not going to go sign Eric Hosmer for $120 million or somebody else for that much, but, you know, we'll still look for ways to improve the club, whether that's via trade, you know, bringing in non-roster guys, you know, smaller free agent signings, maybe a bullpen piece, you know, who knows where the rest of the winter will take us. But still room for improvement in certain areas, and our guys will continue to be opportunistic when, you know, identifying those.
We're talking with Joel Hammond of the Cleveland Indians here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, let's transition back into Carlos Santana, because obviously the loss on the field, no doubt about it, very, very big. All that he contributed over the course of the last nine, almost 10 years, I think the numbers certainly speak for themselves. But I think what you got to see more than anybody else was the impact that he had off the field as well. And if you could, for just a second, kind of shed some light on just how big of a deal he was in the community and all the things that he did off the field.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Andy, that, you know, my first couple years with the Indians, Carlos Santana was the scapegoat. You know, people, maybe it was just the lack of knowledge of kind of these sabermetric stats, but people didn't understand that you don't have to hit 275 to have a big impact on our club. So they see Carlos Santana hitting 230, and they think that he's not a productive player. Now they see, okay, walk 100 times a year, hit 25 homers, hit 34 homers in 2016 when we went to the World Series. He was an extremely valuable player for us, and we'll certainly miss him. I think Terry talked a lot about him maturing and wanting to be a leader. You know, he used to kiss Terry's head before every game. That's kind of how their relationship grew. And off the field, too, you know, did a lot in our community. There was one specific instance of a relationship he forged with a young boy named Nico at cerebral palsy. You know, going back to 2013, this young man, through his dad's season ticket package, was able to go on the field pregame, met Carlos, who was his favorite player, asked him to hit home run. Carlos did that night, and ever since then, their relationship blossomed. So just to kind of peek behind the curtain and what these guys, you know, the impact they make off the field as well as on.
Well, and of course, he had penned a heartfelt letter saying goodbye to the Cleveland Indians fans, and I think that gives you a really good idea as to just how much Cleveland meant to him at the same time. You guys do a nice job of keeping tabs on what's going on with the fan base, especially during the course of the offseason. I think right now, as you look out the window, you get a pretty good sense that a lot of people definitely miss baseball and baseball weather because it's freezing cold outside, temperatures dipping into the single digits a little bit later on tonight, and depending on where you're at in the city, you are getting blasted with snow right now. But one of the things you guys do a great job of is keeping tabs on what's going on with the fan base, and you know, you guys do a nice job on that with your blog site as well. There was a story on there about Michael Rubino and his tribe-themed Christmas party. Thought that was very, very interesting. Now, for those that didn't get a chance to go on there and read that, what kinds of details can you share?
Yeah, this family has a theme for their Christmas party every year. It's unique, I'll say that. And so they've had, like, you know, 50s themes and things like that. So this year's theme was the Indians. And so they had a concession stand where the menu was like a hot dog for, like, you had to give your family member a hug to get a hot dog from the concession stand. You know, the ice cream was at the seventh inning stretch. They had a baseball-themed, you know, party, essentially, for their Christmas party. I thought it was really cool. He tweeted those pictures at us, so we put together a little post. We love stuff like that. You know, our fans are super creative. Heck, Andy, you might have seen this. We retweeted somebody last night. This guy made a blanket of Jose Ramirez pictures for his mother. I mean, it's fantastic. You know, we can't possibly come up with stuff like that, so we love sharing our fans, you know, unique ideas and fun stuff they do around the Indians. And those are just a couple of examples here in the last couple of weeks.
How do you guys learn about things like this going down? I mean, Michael Rubino and his tribe-themed Christmas party is pretty cool. Is it just somebody sharing that with you guys on social media? How did you guys get tipped off to these things?
Yeah, we monitor things pretty closely. So we'll monitor our Facebook messages. A lot of times people will send us cool stuff there. We had a video sent to us the other day, Facebook messages of a young boy who got an Indians jersey for Christmas, and his reaction was just priceless. He went crazy in his family's living room. And then, you know, just Twitter mentions, Mike Rubino tweeted that those pictures of his Christmas party to us. And look, we can't, you know, we couldn't possibly come up with stuff like that. So we love sharing that with other fans to kind of keep the interest high and keep the interest going here is the offseason. Like you said, it's kind of the dog days right now as the snow falls. We're 100 days actually from our home opener. So start the countdown, start sharing Indian stuff, and keep our fans kind of motivated to get through the harsh reality of a Cleveland winter.
Joel Hammond of the Cleveland Indians is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We'll transition now from the diamond to the hardwood, my friend. I know you've done a lot of work over the last few months here, keeping tabs on the local area high school boys and girls basketball teams. You had a real nice conversation last week with Keystone head boys basketball coach Jeff Holzhauer. Tell us about that conversation, and the Wildcats are out to a pretty nice start this season.
Yeah, they are, and they have some depth. You know, that's their what's gotten them off to their hot start. I think they're 6-2 now after a Friday night loss to Buckeye. It was close. You know, I think they use that as kind of a barometer as to where they are right now, because the Bucks are always a pack contender. So they have some depth. They have the cool boys, and you know, a couple other strong players, some size inside, and some real depth in the backcourt. So that's what's gotten them off to a good start, and you know, I think they've got a good shot at hanging around in the pack for sure.
And we'll transition into this week's, or I should say this Friday's action. This is an interesting week. You know, talking to some coaches earlier today about this, you know, when you're coming off the holidays, some of the kids are on break, you just don't quite know what you're going to get because there are so many different distractions this time of the year. But heading into some tournaments going on this Friday, what are some things that you're looking forward to, or more specifically, what matchups are you looking forward to this weekend?
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how Wellington continues to perform. Wellington is off to a really good start. In fact, Friday night we'll have a little feature on Maxwell Jopic with their big guy who's off to a really good start. I think he had 26-17 in their win on Friday night. They're off to a real nice start. So they'll be hosting their own tournament. So looking forward to seeing how Wellington can continue to improve and whether they can contend or hang around in the pack as well. And, of course, I'll be out Friday night at Lorain to take in the Lorain County Holiday Classic. I'll be there for the first game. I'm looking forward to seeing Overland because Overland is always – they have that weird district where they go down and play the people from Wayne County, the Norwaynes, the Daltons. And, you know, they're always a contender in that district. So, and I know you saw them against Clearview on Friday night. I'm looking forward to seeing how their new guys are meshing. I know Devin Yarber's off to a good start, and they've got some young guys too. And, again, you know, I'm always interested to see – Elyria and Lorain matchup. I saw Elyria get waxed by Solon, and they have bounced back to their credit. You know, Solon is like a top probably five team in Ohio, maybe, I think. Maybe top 10 in Ohio. Andy, they shot 44th. It's like watching an NBA team. You know, it's nothing but layups and threes, and they did it well. So I was impressed to see Elyria bounce back from a 25-point loss to Solon, and I think they've won three in a row now. So I'll be interested to see how they, kind of continue to keep going against Lorain. Again, Lorain's off to a good start. Their only loss is to Cleveland Central Catholic. They lost some guys from last year's team, but again, one loss team, and I think they're looking to make a statement on Friday against Elyria.
Yeah, and these holiday tournaments really kind of a gateway into conference play, which really kicks into high gear after the first of the year. We're definitely looking forward to that. Joel, always a pleasure to have you on, my friend. We appreciate the time. Happy New Year to you and yours.
Talk to you again next week, Andy.
All righty, Joel. We always appreciate it. Thank you very much for the time. That's Joel Hammond with the Cleveland Indians. And, of course, you can see his pieces on Friday afternoons, or Friday mornings for that matter, when you open up the Chronicle Telegram to get previews on boys and girls high school basketball action. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Steve Bailey and I will return after this on AM 930 WEOL.